Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Pod Diva.
Diva magazine is turning 30 this year, and to celebrate that, we're covering all 30 years in 30 days, right here on Pod Diva. I'm Rachel Shelley. You may know me as Helena Peabody on The L Word. 2007 was a busy year. Leona Lewis was bleeding love, and the Veronicas were untouched. Beyonce was reminding us that she's irreplaceable, and Taylor Swift was wiping away the teardrops on her guitar. Following the trend from the first half of the decade, the world was well and truly still Potter mad with the release of The Order of the Phoenix. Elliot Page starred in the horror An American Crime. Long before A Portrait of a Lady on Fire, Celine Sciamma released her film Water Lilies. Lesbian icon Whoopi Goldberg joined The View. Miley Cyrus was still enjoying the best of both worlds on Hannah Montana. And the Spice Girls reunited.
Zika Zika.
To celebrate Diva's 30th birthday, we're taking a look back through our archives to see what was really happening at Diva HQ and in the LGBTQIA community in 2007. Are you ready for some time travel? To kick off this year, Ellen DeGeneres told us that she wanted to marry Portia in our January issue. Spoiler, they got married the year after. Later in the year, Ellen went on to become the first openly gay host of the Oscars, where LGBTQIA ally Helen Mirren won the Best Actress Oscar for her role in The Queen. Gossip's iconic frontwoman Beth Ditto dazzled us in April. Basic Instinct star Sharon Stone stunned in July, and an indulgently delightful Kelly Clarkson told us how much she loves her lesbian fans in September. That fall issue was also the design issue, with everything you need to know about dykes and design, furniture, architecture, animation, interior, fashion, you name it, a dyke designed it. Funny that the following month, we jumped right back into style with an article titled Pimp My Fleece. The lesbian stalwart gets an upgrade. Meantime, the L Word and its legions of lesbionic fans were stepping up into the limelight, gathering no less than four, yes, four covers during the course of a queer-tastic 2007. February saw Shane, Alice, Tina and Jenny heading up the relationship issue with their specific tips on love, lust and more. I'm not entirely sure that the relationship track records of these characters, or any of the L-word characters for that matter, really qualify them for giving advice, but still. The Jennifer Beal sizzled on the August cover, aka the Hollywood issue, confiding that I couldn't be butch, I love shoes too much. The lesbalicious Leisha Haley smouldered in October, officially labelled by the team as the hottest gay girl in Hollywood. And who could forget our iconic cover shoot with Shae McCutcheon herself, aka Catherine Manick. That particular magazine was in fact our books issue. From the margins to the mainstream, it focused on the best lesbian writing there was, featuring interviews with literary lesbian queen Stella Duffy, sumptuous sapphic poet Jackie Kay, and a fabulous short story from the awesome Ali Smith. Cover girl Kate was even wearing a vest that declared, "Don't judge a book by its cover," and was quoted as saying, "I've always been an outsider." It was also in 2007 that we featured not just one, but two special sex issues, because you can never get too much, right? Who else remembers the infamous Drag King cover? We really dug down into the nitty-gritty too with Middle England's lesbian sex scandal that we lovingly labelled Wife Swapping in the Sticks. And finally, all we wanted for Christmas was the naked issue, where readers reveal all. Were you one of those readers, dear Diva?
We racked up a few more air miles, Dyke Diva style, in 2007 with a whole entire travel special in April. Plus, we visited China's first out lesbian pop star. Out in the wider world in 2007, Nicaragua, Nepal and Panama all legalized homosexual activity. It also became illegal in the UK to discriminate against lesbians and gay men in the provision of goods and services. All in all, it was quite the queertastic year. And there you have it, 2007 through the lens of Diva magazine and its readers. Tomorrow it's the turn of 2008, when someone called Rachel Shelley and the sensational Sue Perkins were hitting the headlines and the covers, and hitting them hard. If you want to stay in the loop, don't forget to browse our Pod Diva archive with over 100 exclusive interviews, amplifying the voices of the LGBTQIA community and its allies. Seeing as it's Sunday, stay with me a little longer because I'm going to read a Diva article from the last 7 years that we've covered during this past week. Today, I'm looking at issue number 115 from December 2005, the Butch issue, the one with underarm hair on the cover. And the article is called Someone to Watch Over Me, written by Erica Roberts. Someone to Watch Over Me.
Pod Diva.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Pod Diva. Back in the 50s and 60s, a young butch could count on having an older butch as a role model. Erica Roberts reports on the women who are keeping the tradition of butch mentoring alive. A slow grin spreads across Emma's face. The 19-year-old leans on the cafe table, beams at Sue, her friend and former butch mentor, and reminisces about how liberating it felt to wear a man's tuxedo for the first time at the London Lesbian Ball. It just felt so good. I couldn't believe how comfortable and right it felt, especially considering how nervous I was about going into the hire shop to ask if I could try on men's clothing. I would never have done it without Sue. These days, Emma wears men's suits all the time. It's my favourite thing to wear when I go out to a bar. It's just so me. Sue, 36, looks at her fondly and ruffles Emma's hair. And now you know how to tie a tie properly, and you've definitely got more confidence than when I first met you when you were 17. This is the essence of a tradition known as butch mentoring that's all but dying away. In 1950s and early 60s bar dyke culture, when butch femme culture was in its heyday, older butches would often take younger ones under their wing. Typically, younger butches would be introduced to the scene. Hotheads would be steadied and taught manners. Sartorial slouches were taught about dress sense and etiquette. Most importantly, seasoned butches would try to provide a role model of a butch who was proud and strong in her identity in a world that was violently terrified of female masculinity. The tradition was still alive in some parts of the UK 19 years ago when Sue came out. She met her own mentor, Jay, a butch in her mid-30s, at a dyke club in Colnbrook after she'd already been on the scene a number of years. But the lesbian scene then wasn't exactly welcoming. The acceptable look was boyish, women who wore their jeans down their arse. The scene was very fashion-conscious, diesel jeans, trainers, or dykes that wore trainers and a football shirt to the pub. It was all about dressing down, but being butch was not okay. The looks I used to get... Sue struggled to find a niche and tried to tone down her identity so that she would be accepted. And she battled her own demons. I didn't understand my own female masculinity. It was something I fought against, really. It's like fighting against being gay. Society is so against you as a lesbian, and then you come out into a community, you feel you belong, and then you find that as a butch, you're seen as a wannabe man. You don't feel accepted. I internalised their prejudices. As much as I'd identified as butch, I worried what people would think. I didn't want to be a man, but I was so hung up that that was how I would be seen. Enter Jay and her high femme girlfriend sauntering into the bar in Colnbrook. Says Sue, I looked around and just grinned. I'd never seen a real butch femme couple before. They were like the perfect couple. They complemented each other in every way. They represented both extremes. Sue and Jay struck up a butch buddy friendship, with Jay guiding Sue through the minefields of dating, dressing, and identity. After a couple of months of meeting, we were talking about labels, and she said, "You're a butch at heart." She recognized a kindred soul in me. Jay understood Sue's struggle against her own butch phobia. She even taught Sue how to strap on. I wasn't inexperienced, but I didn't use toys. I was close-minded about them, because I felt that if I used a strap on, I'd feel I was taking on a male role, and I didn't want to do that. Jay gave Sue a harness. I looked at her in shock, thinking she was making a move on me. She laughed and said, "No, it's not that. We're going to a mirror." She put her own harness over her clothes and showed me how to put mine on. I was in fits of giggles. It was hilarious. She wanted me to feel okay, to not have to go into my first experience without knowing how to put a strap on, without knowing how it feels to be wearing it. Sue was embarrassed, but also recognized the spirit behind the offer. They gave me a very personal gift because they wanted me to feel okay in myself. Sue was grateful that she had so much guidance when she was young. If I hadn't found a butch mentor, I'd have lost a lot of years. She was an older figure for me to lean on who could teach me values and manners. She was someone who helped me to be myself openly and confidently. In her, I saw all the parts of me that I rejected, except that she was enjoying those things, enjoying her butchness. Meeting her was an eye-opener for me. Maggie, 49, is a butch who was never mentored when she was young. Life would have been a lot easier for me if I'd had a butch buddy to lean on, a mentor in the UK. It wasn't until I started going out on the scene much later in my life in the US that I started to get some good butch friends. Maggie herself mentors online and on the phone. The person I mentor identifies as a boy and uses the pronoun he. He lives in San Francisco. We met 5 years ago. He was 19. He had no sense of belonging, of community, because he couldn't find a place in mainstream lesbian communities. It's a fulfilling relationship to her. Being a mentor has given me a sense of arriving. For someone to value what I'm saying and appreciate my traditions and respect me, that all gives me a sense of being valued in a community as an older butch, of being respected for the fact that I've lived life, that I've had a lot of experience. He's a mirror for me. Mentoring him gives me an opportunity to reflect on myself, what I value and where I'm at. Also, there's a real warmth between us. We have a real buddy relationship, despite the age gap. And he's as cute as hell. He doesn't know that yet. I'm seeing him come into his own, though. Maggie bemoans the loss of the mentoring tradition. Times have changed. The butch femme thing isn't nearly as big as it used to be in this country, and consequently, there's less butch mentoring going on. What lies behind the demise of this butch femme dynamic, suggests Maggie, is, in part, feminism. There's a misconception about butch femme being retrogressive because it forces women into having to identify as either butch or femme, and because it supposedly follows traditional heterosexual roles. But it's not about either of those things. Another reason for the apparent death of mentoring could be that in a world where popular culture tends to forget its historical roots, where would Kylie be without Chuck Berry? It's unsurprising that dyke culture should follow suit. After all, butch mentoring is a handing down of knowledge, culture, and tradition. It's somewhat sad that our communities have abandoned a ritual that could help younger butches come into their own, in a world that still hates them for daring to transgress the gender divide. But another possible cause is that butches of the last few decades have reinvented many forms of female masculinity outside of the realm of butch femme. Now there are many more shapes for butchers to grow into. Butchers who go with butchers, who go with boys, who go with trans men, who go with daddies. For every lid, a teapot. But it's possibly had some impact on traditions which have emerged from the old school world of butch femme, like butch mentoring. Maggie also acknowledges that some younger butchers these days don't need mentoring. In a way, if a younger butch has got to that point in their identity where they're out about being butch, they're in a strong place. They're in a happier place than I was when I was young, but I think there's still that same struggle for my younger butchers. In a modern illustration of this, Emma has outgrown her need for Sue as a mentor. She says, "I need to find out who else I am apart from being butch." Equally, Sue understands that being a good mentor is about knowing when to step aside. She didn't feel comfortable in any gay space for a while, or that she fitted in anywhere. She felt that people were seeing her as a baby butch when she didn't know if she was there herself. "So I moved away to give her some space to find out. I'm aware that my influence could push her into being something she's not, but I'm always still on the end of the phone if she needs me." So speaks a true butch buddy. Sue and Maggie end the night laughing and punching each other on the shoulder. It turns into a hug which reveals a bond that could only exist between two people who have survived the same struggle and defied a hostile world to take them as they are.
Pod Diva.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.